Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 this morning. Did you preach out of this Wednesday night or right close to here?
I think...
You were close.
I don't know. I'd have to... What was it? Wednesday night? Watching. It was about watching. Mm-hmm. He's coming. No, not Wednesday night.
You were here recently, but anyway... I know I say this probably every month, and so, and I don't know. I think about teaching Sunday school and the difference between it and preaching. And there is a difference. But I only have my own personal spiritual life most of the time to draw from, you know, subject matter. You know, things the Lord's doing in my heart. You know, what's going on with me spiritually. And now this might come as a shock, but I'm not always on top of my spiritual game, as it were. Okay, there's things that I feel like I stay in the penalty box with God more than I stay out in the front line. You know what I mean? Since I've got saved, something that I've really tried to have the right spirit about is having an honest heart before God. I spent my whole life being dishonest. My life was a lie. Everything that I did was orchestrated to cover up something else, just like you've been talking about David. And, you know, it grew through the years till it became this thing that I couldn't even, you know, I wasn't driving that train no more. You know, it was controlling me. And so that's something that the Lord has made clear to me, you know, from the beginning of when I finally said, that's it. I'm done fighting you. Then it was like the first thing he said to me was, then you're going to have to be honest. You know. Well, honesty don't condemn anybody else before it condemns you. So when I start digging and studying on something, I just feel like I just get stepped on pretty hard a lot of times. And the more I dig into it, the more it just, you know, I don't even feel a lot of times like I'm in a position to be able to stand up here and tell people, other than from the position of the fact that it's the truth. It applies to us all, man. But I'm sitting in the front here on this one. You know, you and me, Dad, have talked about this a bunch of times, and you've heard me ask you the question so many times, you know, what happened to my generation? What went wrong? What happened? You know, you look around in the news now, you know, and I'm not talking about the riots, I'm talking about before, when everybody has been so willing to believe a lie, no matter what it is, or a half-truth, or whatever you want to call it. But everybody is so willing to believe in something that they do not know anything about. And it's obvious that it's not true. There's evidence that it's not completely true. And yet so violently opposed to the truth that is there, and they won't believe it. They're scared of stuff they can't see, and they're not afraid of the thing that's fixing to eat them.
Yep.
And that is just kind of the general sentiment, both in this material world and in the spiritual world as well. You know, our churches are completely full of people who believe lies about everything. They get all their information about the world and what's going on from the world. They get all of their core beliefs and everything about religion and about spirituality and about righteousness and holiness and everything from the world. They drink from that fountain all the time. You know, there used to be, even if it was weakened, there was a line drawn, even in places like Bible colleges and things like that, where, you know, if you didn't drink the Kool-Aid and believe it any more than it was just school spirit, it was, you at least adhered to some of the standards of the school for nothing more than loyalty to the school. In dress or convictions of some kind. But now, all of them. I don't know of a single one where they go to college, go to Bible school, and even if they, proudly tout the fact that they don't listen, they're not contemporary. They're not contemporary. But all the kids, all of them, that's what they listen to.
Yes.
That's what they listen to. When they get a guitar in their hands, that's what they play. If they're not playing just secular music.
Right.
Yeah. The lines are gone.
Yes, they're gone.
They're gone. And I asked myself, because the way that mankind is from Adam on, when there is sin in the camp, they got to find somebody to blame. That there has to be someone to lay the guilt upon so it can be punished, so that person can pay. Pass the buck, pass the blame, look over the fence, look at everybody else, and nobody looks at themselves. In Psalms 11:3, it says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And the thing is that's been the devil's MO from the very beginning, is to destroy the foundation.
Yep.
If he can do that, then, I used to build houses for a living. And there was builders who had a good reputation that everything was square, everything was sound. They did it good. They did it right from the dirt to the roof to the sky. It was done right. And then there was other builders who had a reputation for cutting corners and for using the cheapest contractor. They'd pick the cheapest bids off the list, and that's who they went with. And, they would put more money into the landscaping so that it would look really good. But if you knew what you were looking at, the house was a mess and it was brand new. But by the time that the problem surfaced and the homeowner realized that this dream home that they've spent all their life savings upon is falling down around them, the builder was long gone. And so was his liability. Remember that house we went to replace the door on?
Yep.
And all the sheetrock was cracking and
sure,
it was falling apart, and it was probably a $250,000 home in a nice neighborhood, and it was falling down. And the kind of problems that poor old lady had, there weren't no fixing them. There was a house sitting on top of a bad foundation.
Yeah, full of water all the time.
Yeah. And the builder, long gone. Long gone. And this is a really, this is a broad subject with a lot of bases to cover on this, and I don't even know where to jump into it. And I'd like to cover it this month through our Sunday school lessons. And, I feel like more than anything, it's not preaching, but it ain't teaching. I don't know, it's just like, I don't feel like God's like giving me some new revelation, because this has been in the Bible from the beginning. But it's just something that we have all ignored. Like generationally. This has been going on for a long time. And it's just been that thing we don't talk about. It's that thing, that subject we don't breach. Because if we can in our minds accept the fact that this is taken care of. Have you ever ask somebody to do something, and they might have heard you, they might not, but in your mind, you asked them, they said yes. So you move on and go take care of your business. And then you come back to this thing that really needed to be done, and it ain't done. And now, everybody's looking at you like, why ain't this done? Well, I gave the job to you, and you didn't do it. In your mind, it was taken care of because redelegated it to someone else. So you wouldn't have to worry about the responsibility of it. Therefore, excusing yourself of the accountability for that thing not getting done. Or it getting done. If it got done, well, praise be to you, because you redelegated and all, do you realize what I'm saying? All of it got appointed to someone else because of how wise you were to pick the right person. And if it don't get done, we'll hang that person for saying they'd do it and then they didn't do it. It excuses you from all responsibility either way. You either get all the praise or you don't get all the responsibility for it being done wrong. And I feel like this thing I'm about to talk about has been done that way. It's just been pitchforked over to somebody else's responsibility, and now I don't have to worry about it. And if it goes wrong, well, it ain't my fault. I did everything right. I did what they told me to do. I did what I was supposed to do. Well, did you? When you stand before God, is that going to hold water when you say, He says, why didn't you do this? And you say, well, I was where I was supposed to be. They said they'd take care of it. And it ain't my fault. Problem is that the thing you're rolling the dice with isn't the yard getting mowed or not. Or somebody bringing in the milk out of the truck. That's happened to us a few times where everybody's supposed to help bring in the groceries. And we get them in and we put them all away because everybody's supposed to help put the groceries away. And then the next morning I go out and there's a pack of chicken in the back of the truck. That goes out to the ditch because somebody didn't do their job. But I was the one that paid for it. And if it mattered to me, I would have went out there and checked. Because I gave a child a responsibility for something that had more dire consequences if they didn't do it. You understand that's a poor example, but it mirrors what I'm talking about. There are things that, especially as growing up in, you know, an independent, fundamental Baptist church, most all my life, that I have noticed, especially as I've become an adult. There's certain preachers that you and I know that their pride and joy is to be able to put those three letters in front of their church. IFB. Independent, Fundamental, Baptist Church. And, you know, I don't believe that, you know, gambling is right. So why do people gamble? I think it's foolish to gamble with your money. I mean, I see people that I know. We know people who've made and lost fortunes over and over and over and over because they can't stay away from the riverboat. Why would you do this with the souls of your children? Gambling on the fact that someone else is going to cover the bases that God gave you the responsibility to cover. And I'm talking to us and whoever's listening, but man, I say something. There's something I say to her all the time when we're trying to figure out where this problem comes from. You know, whatever it is we're talking about. And I always tell her, go back up the creek. Keep going back up the creek. You want to find where this problem, why is the river polluted? Go back up the creek. Let's keep going. Well, you go to the next generation, the one before you, and look at that. Okay? Well, there's this problem, but it didn't begin with them. Let's go back up the creek some more. What about them? Well, here's another problem, but I wonder where it came from. See, we call ourselves fundamental believers, you know, but what's fundamental? Well, fundamental has its roots in foundation. That's what it means. It's the foundational things that your whole belief system is made up of. Not just what you believe about God and the Bible and church, but about what you believe about morality. You know, what your character is made of and how it's made, how it's constructed. Fundamental things. You know, we have, I mean, I guess if everybody was given a notebook and a pen and said, come back next week and give me a list of what you think is fundamental about what you believe about the gospel. We would all have some different answers, but more than likely, there would be a pretty consistent set of things that we all believe are fundamental about the doctrine that we believe about the Bible and about Jesus, the virgin birth, the resurrection, the atonement, you know, things like that, the second coming, sanctification, all these things that are fundamental. That means they don't move. That means everything that you are and that you believe and that you try to propagate on other people are all built on these things that never move. You know, there might be some things that you learn as you go along that change as you get older and when you're exposed to other wisdom from, you know, as God reveals it to you. But fundamentally, it's your foundation. And therein lies the problem. When we would pour footers for a house, I always hated it when the guy that dug them wouldn't clean the dirt back away from the ditch a little bit. Because the caliber of people that we had pouring concrete, they didn't care about the foundation. And they'd walk along there pouring concrete, troweling, raking concrete, stamping it down, and they'd knock big clods of dirt off in the ditch, in the concrete. You know? And that weakens the foundation.
Yeah.
It ruins the foundation. Your house, that back corner that's the problem, I promise you, if you dug down and was able to unearth that foundation in that corner, you'd see why there's a weak point in it. There is a weak spot in that foundation right there. A foundation is only ever as strong as its weakest point.
That's right.
And it doesn't matter if the rest of the foundation is perfect. When the corner of your house has fallen off, that kind of is, nothing else matters.
Right.
And look how long your house has been there. It's been there a long time.
Yeah.
I think it's been there 75 years.
Probably.
Maybe that long?
More than that.
And now, you're seeing it start to deteriorate. And it began where? I mean, yeah, there's things that need to be fixed in the house, and there's this, and there's that, but all those things can be repaired. But not this. You're at an impasse now. What is the solution now? Well, I'll tell you.
Yep.
It's the same thing that you've got to do when you get saved.
Yep.
The problem of why my generation all forsook God, now they've raised another generation that hate Him.
Yep.
Is because, oh, and they're all Christians too, by the way. Their mom and daddy said so. But it's because Christianity, salvation, is never presented. Almost never. Especially in, I'm generalizing this statement, but it's never presented this way.
No. Nope.
If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. What do you think old things are passed away means?
Yeah.
See, think about it. I spent my life growing up in church, hearing the fundamentals of all of it. But that guy right there wasn't the only person laying stuff on my foundation. There was lots of other people stumbled around my footers and kicked dirt in there.
Absolutely right.
He didn't know.
Yep.
You don't know.
Right.
If you look back and be honest with yourself.
That's right.
And think about the things that, and I'm not talking about what you believe about the Bible. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about me. Why do I get so upset when things ain't just a certain way? Is it because I'm stubborn? Is it because my dad's that way or my grandpa's that way? Or is it because my grandma had red hair or she didn't? But I'm saying, you hear those excuses of why people are the way they are. Whether they're Christians or claim to be or not. Whether they live like it 80% of the time. But if the right circumstances, if the planets line up, you better look out, because, you know, how many times have we said it? Boy, you know, you don't ever see that guy get mad, but if there he has a line, and if you push him past that line, boy, Katie barred the door, he'll tear the whole place apart. Well, why is he like that? Was he like that before he was a Christian? Is that the one thing that he's held on to because it's fundamental in his life? You know? I think about the kind of person that I am. Like, I'm not talking about the Christian. I'm talking about just me, just Seth. You know? The things that I let get on my nerves. The things that I expect other people to change about themselves when they're around me. Because it gets on my nerves, man. Stop. Why do I, you know, just, it's a part of who I am. And people are okay with just that explanation alone. Well, it's just who I am. You know? And they like the he's still working on me mentality about their entire life of Christianity. And but see, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Who you are is what's going on inside of you. And that's where Jesus is supposed to be, right? It's your foundation. You start looking through the Bible where it talks about foundations. And it starts out God telling the children of Israel, you know, I will lay your foundation. You do what I say. And I mean, he says in 1 Kings there, he's talking about the foundation of the temple. Okay? And it says, the foundation was of costly stones, even great stones, stones of 10 cubits and stones of 8 cubits. You know, these things that you are foundationally built out of, like your fundamentals. You know, you need to understand that you are going through life and it's like a, this is how everybody treats it. They abandon God's word for your fundamentals. And you just go through life adding to your own foundation like at a buffet. I've known people that you know, I didn't like anything about them. I had to work with them. I had to do their job. I didn't like their character. They had no character. They were an unsavory person. So there wasn't anything about them that I took away other than, I'm not like you. I'm proud of that. You're a waste of air. And then there's been other people that I worked with that I might not have agreed with everything they did, but there were certain things about them that I really did admire. And, you know, what you are around and what you assimilate into yourself, you become. You know, it's a dangerous thing. It's why working somewhere is one of those things that it's a very big battle. Because I've worked in places before where you find, people sort themselves out. And birds of a feather flock together. You'll look for somebody who's like you. Because then you got to spend all your time with them anyways. Might as well be somebody that's, you know, you can get along with. But iron sharpens iron, and that person rubs off on you. And they endear themselves to you, to your heart. And you don't even realize that they're doing it. And there's things about them that you will excuse that are dead wrong because of these things that you admire so much about them, and that you will let it be. You will... What am I trying to say? You'll excuse these things. And in all honesty, they're as bad for you as someone who's just 100% bad influence. Mm. Worse, really.
Yes.
Because you drink in, it's the poison pill, see? It's the poison wrapped up in something good. Yeah. And it's a lot easier to just swallow it down. But then it becomes part of you. And it's just another little brick laid into the foundation of your soul and your life and your character and your heart. You know? Sometimes I feel like all the things, see, I was raised a certain way and we do these things in our life and there's things I didn't really understand why. I mean, I see the goods and the bads, but fundamentally, it's like I'm catching up to the train a little bit now. You know, it's one of the reasons why I'm glad that we chose, even in our lost state of mind, and with the entire world influencing everything in my heart, why we decided to go ahead and homeschool our kids. And it was just it's because someone else was praying for my kids. But that's where our generations have been changed into what's burning down our country right now.
Yeah,
that's right.
You know, embracing socialism, disparaging anything that ever had any honor or character or godliness at all about it.
Right.
It's what happened. The schools and their indoctrination about right and wrong and morality and God have progressively, systematically turned the hearts to something totally different. And you wonder why they're not here no more. You wonder why that you can raise your kids in church and teach them everything that you ever knew about what was right and wrong, and then it just seems like they don't have no problem at all with just it not being a part of their life. Well, it's because the problem is in the foundation. Everybody preaches salvation as come as you are. You don't have to change a thing. God will take care of all that. It's like a miracle. Okay?
Yeah.
And you just come and get in line and start serving Him and everything will be all right. He'll fix. He'll make beauty out of ashes. They use His own words to... It's like blackmail.
That's right. Yes, they do.
But they don't do nothing about the foundation. And they start trying to build this righteous building on a foundation made by the world. And it's, you know, the first thing that gets covered up when you're building something is the foundation. I mean, the crawl space. I always hated when we'd do a house and the person in charge didn't clean up inside the crawl space. Like all the dirt clods and the rocks and all that junk that's piled up inside around the piers. Man, there was one guy I knew and he would go in there, he'd leave a section of block out until they got it all laid, and then he'd go in there with a bobcat and a rake and shovel and clean up all of the clods, and then he'd spread sand in there and put plastic down. And then they'd build the house. So you had your moisture barrier, and you had a nice place to crawl around underneath there because you were going to have to be under that house to finish it. And periodically, you'd have to get underneath there to work on something. All of us know that about getting under houses.
Yeah.
And when you got to crawl over, you know, what looks like a minefield, an exploded minefield under the house, it's misery.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of places for all them monsters to hide, too. But nobody does that. I mean, it's as important as laying the foundation. I mean, there's no thought given to the foundation. It's just like this bad thing we got to do in order to be able to build this beautiful thing that everybody is so impressed with. And everybody focuses so much on building this monstrous thing for the world to see. And I'm talking spiritually now. But they don't even think one bit about it. Because see, when God saves you, the condition is that you're everything that you've ever been has to be burned up on an altar. It's gone. You know, are you guys going to tear down your house and then try to set your new one on the old foundation? Well, of course not. It's fixing to get burnt down and then scooped up with a loader and put in a dump truck, including the foundation, and hauled off and dumped in a hole somewhere. And then you're going to have to come in with some other kind of equipment and level all the ground out and dig it all out new and pour new footers for this new home. It's the only way. When you're done, there won't be any speck of evidence that there ever was anything there ever at all, other than the house that's there now. And that's the way that it has to be with your soul. And it shows itself in the kind of person that you are. Because you're not a dichotomy. You're not, I'm not, you know, Seth the wood carver out here, and then now I'm Seth the Sunday school teacher. And they're two different people. I got to be the same guy out there that I am in here, and vice versa. Otherwise, I'm one or the other. And then if I'm anything else, it's a lie. One or the other is a lie.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's right.
And, you know, as you go through the Old Testament reading about the foundation, God's promising, you know. Let me read this other one I found here. Isaiah 54, when he's begging them to please, please, return to me. You know, repent. You know, He says, O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors and lay thy foundations with sapphires. If you'll get rid of all that junk and let's start over, and I will help you and I will lay your foundation for you, and it'll be something that never will fail. But they didn't do that. They wouldn't get rid of their idols. They wouldn't turn away from all their wickedness. And so Ezekiel comes along and he's saying what the Lord says now. And here's what he says, Ezekiel 13:14. So I will break down the wall that ye have daubed with untempered mortar and bring it down to the ground, so that the foundation thereof shall be discovered, and it shall fall, and ye shall be consumed in the midst thereof, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. I think about this now because I know when I got saved, I know where my heart was. I know what the attitude of my heart was. You know, and I was done with all the ways I'd ever been. At least that was the attitude of my heart. And trust me, it takes a while to uncover the foundation once there's a lifetime of a house built upon it. You know? It's just like when you're talking about when a person gets saved and they turn from their sins. Well, the big ones are easy to do that with. But the problem lies in the foundation. You know, the gross sins that are so visible to men are just like a big giant house built where people can see it. And when that gets raised to the ground, what? People notice that. What? You don't drink no more? What? You don't cuss and carry on? You don't chase women no more? Nope, I don't do that. Wow, boy. But that's where most people stop. And the person that let all that be built upon this foundation, it's in the foundation. That foundation's still there. And then they decide, well, we're going to build this beautiful thing for God now. But then they just start laying bricks right on their foundation that they've always been doing all along. And none of what they ever have believed about anything gets dealt with at all. It just gets put away in a room somewhere and you shut the door. But it's like Brother Edge preached a message one time, you know, lessons I've learned in the sawmill. Yeah. And he talked about trees and how you can roll up a big old slick red oak log and it looks perfect. And you take three boards off of it and that sucker's full of ants. And it's got a big old hole right in the center of it, and it's absolutely worthless. There might be a few good boards on the outside, but when it's done, where's it go, Mike? Right in a slab rack. The whole thing, whatever's left. And that's what happens with most people's Christian lives. They build it on the foundation that them and the devil and every other wicked bird that's out there ever poured into them. And then they try to build their Christian life on that foundation. Because, hey, it's who I am. It's the character, you know, my character. Have you ever met someone? Well, I'll tell you, Uncle Rob lived all my life and I never knew until he's an old man now what kind of person he was when he was young. He's the most demure, meek, humble, happy, kind, tender, gentle man I've ever known. But then I met somebody who knew him when he was a young man, and they said he'd fight anybody he met on the road. He run 100 miles an hour in his car, wrecking and crashing and fighting and just meaner than a junkyard dog. And then, guess what happened to him? He got born again. And that guy died. For good. That part of him never come back again. I never knew about it. But, and we all know of people in our life that are like that. That, you know, hey, they used to be this. Now they're this. And it's not even the same kind of person. And you don't see it rear its ugly head every once in a while in some mundane worldly thing that, oh, well, you know, I just have always felt that way about that. They are more than willing to scrap it all and start all over. Their character gets reborn.
Yes.
It's not even the same character.
No.
And yet, nobody does that no more. That's not a requirement for salvation anymore. Because when you believe that nothing's your fault, based on certain doctrines they teach, that ever they build salvation upon, then why should you? I mean, God loves me just the way I am. Don't you know? And it's all of Him and nothing of me. Well, why am I required? But no, see, even the Spirit is wrong there. And we're about out of time. But this is just, I just skipped across the top end of this thing. Man, there are so many. When I start looking at myself, and just being honest, because man, this is probably the most condemning thing I've ever approached in my own life here. I told you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm going to read that, and then we'll be done. I've read this 100 times in my life, maybe more. And I've heard maybe 3 times as many sermons preached on this as that. And I don't know why, but like this morning, I read this, and it makes sense. I know what Paul was talking about now. He said, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." He said, "You guys are all supposed to be Christians, but," he said, "you still act just like the world."
Yes.
Why are you doing this? He said, "I'm going to tell you why. I have fed you with milk and not with meat." I mean, you have no excuse. I've not given you anything you can't handle yet. And yet you're still acting just like the world. "For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet are ye now able. Yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envyings and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, 'I am of Paul,' and another, 'I am of Apollos,' are ye not carnal?" See, that was the whole thing. He was talking about their foundation. One of them was saying, "Well, I believe like Paul. I mean, he preaches more along the lines of what I think that's happening." The other one said, "Well, Apollos, I think he has some. I mean, I feel more like I'm like him, you know." And he said, "Are you guys, what in the world? You're acting like the world. You're acting, you know, this is how the world lines out morality." You see? They find someone they idolize that they think is a good moral. Why do you think Donald Trump's so doggone popular in church now? Mm-hmm. This is why. Mm-hmm. Because he speaks right to the heart and soul of most professing Christians' foundation.
Yes.
He's a wicked man. Mm-hmm. And he does not honor God. Mm-hmm. He just represents the way they all feel.
Yes.
Yes. And then hate me if you want to. That's the truth.
That's the truth. Sure is.
And when a preacher gets up and sings the praises of him like he's the Messiah, God's emissary sent to earth to save America, you are off base.
Oh, yes.
You're off base.
Bad.
You are being deceived.
Yes. Absolutely.
Who then is Paul? This is Paul saying, "Who's Paul? Who am I? Why do you want to be like me? You're wrong. You're heading down the wrong path. And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed."
Yes.
"We only were the letter carriers, guys. Even as the Lord gave to every man, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. We are not to be emulated here. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." It's what you're supposed to be being, is God's building. And not built upon the foundation of the rudiments of some man. You know, I'm not your foundation. You build on me, you're fixing great is the fall going to be thereof. "According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon." See? And who did he say? It was God's husbandry. He's the one supposed to be doing the building. "But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." That's got to be the foundation. And that sounds like a real generalized statement. Well, just build on Jesus. No. You can't build on anything unless what was there before is gone. And that's where everybody hits the wall. Yeah. And they say, well, but, you know, I love this because my grandpa loved it. You know, I love this because it's like our family traditions. I love this because, you know, it's my family name. It's part of who I am. It's part of my cat. I see this in my children. It's genetic. No, it's not. It's you laying into the foundation of your kid the wrong things that was laid into your foundation, and you are propagating the next generation of deceived people.
Truth. It's such the truth.
And you're the problem. I am the problem. When I defend my child for doing something that I know I got to defend him in, or else I condemn myself. Because I know I'm wrong.
Yes.
Yep.
Lord, have mercy. Every man's work. Let me back up. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. There will come a day when, I don't care what kind of foundation you've laid, a good one or a bad one, it's going to be revealed. The Lord said, if you do it wrong and you continue to defy me in this, I will strip away what you've built and I'll uncover your foundation. But one way or the other, your foundation is going to get observed at. It's going to be looked at by somebody. Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. There ain't going to be nothing left. No, and I'm just going to stop there because the rest of this chapter has got a bunch more, man, and it just builds right upon what we've talked about. But I'm telling you, if you want to know what happened to my generation, somebody else laid the foundation. And Mom and Dad thought that they were laying it. But somebody else laid it. Somebody else laid into that footer some dirt, some junk.
Yep.
They got covered right up. And there was too many people involved for me to have to take the blame, don't you know? But that's who God's going to hold accountable. Man, we need to really take this serious. The problem is in the foundation.